Welcome to the vault. Welcome or welcome back to the vault season two. Round of applause. The day has finally come where I've come out of my hiatus, very, very long one, I might add, to start a new season of The Vault. And I thought, why not? Because I am in a nostalgic mood. I do love today's music, but I'm in a bit of a nostalgic mood. Why don't I introduce a new segment or a new, you know, like segue into the vault and expanding it a little bit. So I do love me like the old golden oldies, but I wanted to focus a little bit more on albums. I do love a full body of work. I'm not much of a singles girl. I'm more of an album girl. So I do love me a good album here and there. And I thought, why not review albums down the line? It's so easy to do a reaction to an album off the first listen and you, or a first few listens, you haven't really let it digest. So I thought, why not review the albums of artists that I had growing up, you know? And starting off, I thought, why not the queen, you know, Beyoncé. It is basically 20 years since she released her debut album. And I thought, well, I was a younger girl back then. Why don't I revisit that album, Dangerously in Love? That was her solo debut album. So I decided to give the full album a list and rate it from 1 all the way to 15. I believe there's 15 songs in the album. So I will be rating it. I will start from 15 and making my way all the way to number 1 and explaining why I rated them the way that I rated them. I'm taking this from a perspective of a 25-year-old. I was four or five when the album came out. So obviously I wouldn't have really gotten into Beyoncé. And when I got into this album, I was older, about in my teens. But now that I'm in my mid-20s, I think it's going to hit different because Beyoncé and I were around about the same, she was around about the same age as me when this album came out. So I just definitely want to put myself in that shoes. Like if I was 25, 20 years ago, how would I have accepted that album, already received that album? And also putting myself in today's shoes, I have to disconnect my general opinion. Of course, it's an album I've listened to ever so often. So it's very easy to be like, oh, I like this song, I like this song. So I have to really put myself in a new light, new perspective, which is a bit of a challenge. But it's a challenge that I'm willing to be in. And I want you to ride it out with me. Before I even start anything, let us be clear here. Do not drag me for my choices. I said what I said and I meant what I said. If you have any opposing, and I mean any opposing opinion as to why the album should be rated differently from how I rated it, you are more than welcome to slide in my DMs and we can have a full-blown discussion on it. But until then, I am saying what I said. I am sticking to my words and I'm sticking to my ratings. So with that being said, sit back, relax, grab some tea, and let's kiki over Beyoncé's Dangerously in Love album 20 years later. So Dangerously in Love was Beyoncé's first solo album outside of Destiny's Child in June 2003. She released it on the 20th. When I checked the age of Beyoncé at the time, the girl was 22. Like, 22! But, you know, some of the themes that she's covering here, I'm like, girl, Miss Ma'am. Now, Miss Ma'am. Okay. So, I've re-listened to the album. I'm now someone in her mid-20s, like I had mentioned before. So, listening to this album compared to when I was a teenager, it's different. Like, I've been listening to it, like, average listening, but not even all the songs. Most likely, like, the popular songs that kind of came out as singles, and then maybe one or two that ever came on my shuffle. Like, it was never, let me do a deep dive on the album. So when I did a deep dive on this album and I gave it a listen, like a new listen with fresh ears, fresh mentality, I'm telling you, it was probably the most difficult thing that I put myself through. With a really good artist that has a really strong discography, especially like really good songs in an album, it is very difficult to rank them, and it's different opinions, different people will think different things. So when ranking these, I don't know how many times I've had to shuffle people's orders because, well, the song's orders, because the song that I'd be listening to, I'm like, I think it's this. And then I'd either raise it or I'd like decrease it. But in no way, shape or form, because of this rating, am I saying that I hate some of the songs or I love some of the songs. No, I love them. I love all the songs. Let me say that. I don't hate the songs. It's just that some are so good or resonate with me more in this stage of life that they had to rank higher. And I wasn't about to do, you know, they were tied for this. Like, I had to have one in each individual. But they were slim. A lot of them were very slim, like cutting it real slim. So I know a number of you are probably going to be surprised by how I ranked it. And I will first kind of give a synopsis of how I felt with each song, and then I'll let you know at the ending what my rating was. So please don't kill me. Like, just bear with me now. And then at the end, maybe then we can fight, then we can tussle. So starting the album off was none other than Crazy in Love. That was her first single that she did with Jay-Z. That's the first single that she released. And might I tell you, iconic is the only word that I can say. Like, as soon as you hear that instrumental right at the beginning, like the brass horns and everything, almost marching band vibes, you just know. Girl, get your red stilettos on, get your blue denim booty shorts and a white vest, because right now you are channeling Crazy in Love Beyonce. And obviously with Jay-Z on the track as a featuring artist, and I think he did a verse before the bridge. Come on, like, we all know Jay-Z's verse, we all know Beyonce in that song, and the music video just, it sealed the deal when it came to the song. So obviously, Crazy in Love, beautiful song, one of my favorites. Like, when I'm in the mood to really just, like, a pick-me-up, I play Crazy in Love, and I'm just ready to tackle the day. The next song, the second song on the album, is Naughty Girl. And Naughty Girl has got such a hypnotic instrumental with her vocals really hitting on the high ranges, kind of on a falsetto side. But, you know, there's just something about the lyricism that is just that, like, you know, if you ever want a specific song that makes you feel so attractive, so sexy, it is like this one. You know, like, you know when you want to get dressed up for yourself, for your man, or whoever, and you just want to feel like that girl? Like, I think this would have been like the song that I was going to play in the year 2003 when this album came out, because there's just something about it where you, and it's like a song that oozes sex appeal but without the explicit language. Like, she wasn't cussing out nothing, she wasn't saying things like blatantly in your face, but you could feel it. You're like, yeah, yeah, girl, I feel you. And at 22, seeing that, I'm impressed. I am beyond impressed. Third song of the album, Baby Boy featuring Sean Paul. So the song definitely came off with more of an island feel. I want to say Caribbean, but it's more like the sound of the islands. It's got Sean Paul's the best collaborator that she could have gone, because he was so hot at the time. But his vocals just really matched the how can I say this, the instrumentals of the song. And, you know, it's almost like it's a cutesy song. It's not necessarily like a very grown-up song. It definitely touches a little bit more on the youthful side. Like, it's the type of song that you play when you start feeling a baby boy, like, you know, like a homeboy, like, what's good, man, how you doing, like the honeymoon phase. I want to say it's just got something that is almost like, let's take a bit of vacation. When I say honeymoon phase, I think that's the perfect way to encapsulate it, because honeymoon, there's something like airy fairy around it, and playing the song when you're with your when you're like with your person, you want to feel in that type of mood, like when the sunset is dimming and you just want to like take it slow, but, you know, have a bit of like rhythm where it kind of like picks up, but it's not a song that's too fast nor too slow. It's just right, you know what I mean? It's a just right appeal. The fourth song was A Hip Hop Star. Hip Hop Star itself has got rock instrumentals. It's Beyonce on the album definitely switches up. She's experimenting in this point. She's got a almost sing-songy way of approaching the song in a way where she breaks down the sentences so you can hear every lyric. Like, she almost sounds like that, where she will break it down and say the lyric. And then in the chorus, it kind of goes into the song. It's like the song, like her normal rhythm of singing. And then we've got Big Boy and Sleepy Brown that also are featured on this track. Big Boy is a very sharp contrast, because his way of rapping was a lot faster compared to Beyonce's more melodic style of song or style of singing in the particular in the specific track, to which is interesting to say the least. But definitely, I think it was one of those hit or misses, and in a way, kind of felt like a miss for me personally, because it felt so out. It was a weird song. It's like she threw it in there because she just wanted to have something different to kind of break it, like break the feel of the album at this point. And then going on to the fifth song, Be With You. Now, Be With You is a slow down R&B. So you're going from this rock instrumental, you know, almost I'm not trying to find the words to describe who it best resonates with, but Beyonce now comes in with Be With You, and it is so, it's like a slow down tempo, and it's almost like a serenade that is to whoever, to her love interest. And it's the kind of song that you, I feel like you sing when you're at that stage where you just look at that person and just like, you know what, you're my ride or die. Like, you are the person that I need in my life the most. It's just one of those, it's almost poetic. It is poetic justice at its best. It is so poetic. It almost doesn't feel like a song. It feels like a poem that she wrote that she just happened to sing. And then the switch up that she has just before the bridge, where she repeats the same lyrics about wanting to be with you. It's like an emphasis on, you know, listen, my dude, I want to be with you. Or like my girl, like my person, I just want to be with you. You, I don't care about anyone else. You are the one that I want to be with. And that's the type of vibe that I think right now in stage of life, I think everyone wants to have, that where you have that person where you're like, I want to be with you. So that is the first third of the album. I feel the overall arching theme is definitely more, this is, I am in love. I am different versions of the said love that I am entering, that I've experienced, that I am, you know, going into at this stage of the album. Quickly jumping in here to share none other than Sibs's sources. Sibs's sources, basically the fun facts that I'll be sharing about the singles or the albums that I'll be speaking about in each episode. Because today's episode is about Dangerously in Love, I'll be sharing you some fun facts about the album that you may or may not have known of. The album debuted at number one on the US Billboard Top 200, selling 317,000 copies in its first week. It had won 3 awards at the MTV Music Video Awards, including Best Female Video and Best R&B Video, all for Crazy in Love. It's won 4 awards at the Billboard Music Awards, including Best Best Female Artist and Best R&B Artist. At the 2004 Grammys, which was an amazing, amazing accomplishment for her with her debut era, she won Best Contemporary R&B Album, Best R&B Song, Best Rap / Sung Collaboration for Crazy in Love, Best R&B Performance by a Duo or Group with Vocals for The Closer I Get to You with Luther Vandross, Best Female R&B Vocal Performance for Dangerously in Love 2. And on the Billboard charts, number one, Crazy in Love went for 1 week. Baby Boy also went number one for 1 week. Me, Myself, and I had peaked at number 4, funny enough. Naughty Girl peaked at number 3. And Dangerously in Love had peaked at number 57. So out of her main 5, like top, like 5 singles that she released, Dangerously in Love was released, but not really with the music video compared to the other ones. Those all made it into the top 5 of the Billboard top to a top 100, which is absolutely insane. Well, that's it for Sibs Sources. Right back to your regular programming. Now we jump into the second third of the album, starting off with our song number 6, Me, Myself, and I. Now, Me, Myself, and I, you know, in a relationship, well, in the deterioration of a relationship, there's finding out and then there's realizing. Me, Myself, and I is realizing. You know that point where you start putting two and two together and you're like, you know what, actually. And then it's almost a stage of healing. Once you've realized it, you kind of move on from it. And you're like, you know what? I don't need nobody. I got myself. I'm happy. Me, Myself, and I is a hood classic in terms of self-love. Like, you want to... Self-love at its finest. You want to feel like, you know, you don't need nobody else. You just need an anthem. This is the song that you revisit. This is the song that you go and you play in your playlist. And you're just like, you know what? I'm good. I don't need no one else in my life. I'm going to be all right, basically. Then song number 7 came through with Yes. Yes, then switches up. And it doesn't switch up. It kind of continues with the theme that Me, Myself, and I kind of came with. So we're now reaching that point in the album where we're starting to see that, you know, not all glitter is gold. So with Yes, it's a song where everything is fine and dandy at the beginning, but the moment you kind of like, yo, nah, I'm not down like that, or I don't do those types of things, then the person is kind of like, well, fine anyway, I don't need you, kind of tossing you away because they're not getting what they want. And this type of song, it switches up in the tempo. I notice a tempo switch when the lyrics change. So it's all fine and dandy when everything's good, but when things start going sour, you definitely hear like a bit of a change in the song to represent that change in the person and their personality and the way that they treat you. And I think a lot of people can resonate with that, because you know of someone, you may have been in a situation, or you know of someone in that situation where they are so happy at the beginning of their relationship, and then things just take a 180, and you just don't know, like, okay, what happened here? When did this change? But now, you know, do you really need that person in your life? That's when you start to really evaluate. We're moving on to song number 8, which is none other than Signs featuring Missy Elliott. Now, Signs is a song... I've got to best describe Signs. Signs is basically describing all your ex-lovers to astrology signs. And I think that's such a, as you know, internet culture will dub it, chakra hun thing to do when you... It's almost like a first date question. I know I'm guilty of it sometimes, asking someone when their birthday is, because in my mind I'm trying to figure out, okay, what's their star sign? What are we compatible? What is their personality like? It's just a thing. And so I think Beyonce definitely was feeling that. Missy Elliott also co-wrote the song. So I think it was just... It's a fun song. It's a fun song. Very simple lyrics. Not much to work on. It's an okay song. Kind of throw... It's also another random song that was kind of thrown in there. Doesn't really fit into much. It fits into the overall theme of the album. But, you know, it's I think it's one of those light-hearted songs that you kind of just throw in there to kind of have a break. And then we move on to song number 9, which is Speechless. Speechless, I want to say, draws inspiration from Janet Jackson's Anytime, Anywhere. You know, bear with me. When you listen to that song and you compare it with the song, it is so, so similar to how she did it. It's not exactly the same, but it's similar. Like, the way that she's done her instrumentals, not that it sounds the same, but the overall message that it's trying to convey, or the overall vibe that it's trying to convey, rather, is so similar to that. And so, which means it's almost nostalgic. Like, I've heard something like it before, but I haven't at the same time. But one thing I do appreciate about the song is the very powerful vocals Beyonce has at the end. Like, wow. Like, honestly, it's such a wow, right? Wow. Then we've got song number 10, which is That's How You Like It featuring Jay-Z. Not one of my all-time favorites. I think the song is very of the time. It's very the instrumentals were very 2002, 2003. It's got very carefree lyrics, very simple. It doesn't go above and beyond what it needs to go. I think it's like I said, it's a song of the time. Jay-Z's lyrics were like, okay, but they weren't like that. It's almost like a song that they did together, and they were like, oh, this might also be fun, I guess. Throw it in there. I mean, after Crazy in Love, you can't compete. Unfortunately, you cannot compete with that in the same album. So It's not my favorite, but it is a, it's a song of the time. I think it's best in that time. It doesn't quite, I don't, I'm not really feeling it 20 years later. I said what I said. Officially hitting the last third of Beyonce's album, starting it off with track number 11, The Closer I Get To You, with none other than the legendary Luther Vandross. I love Luther Vandross. His music has played all over my house. So when he did the song Beyonce, and you know, I listened to it, it is such a beautiful love song. And I, you know, it's so timeless. It's, it reminds me of a Sunday. It's such a Sunday classic to hear on like the radio stations or on people's playlists. Like, it's a beautiful, beautiful song. There's so many words to say, but I think just one of the words to sum up everything is really just timeless. It's really a timeless track. Dangerously in Love comes in at number 2, is the 12th song off the album, and Dangerously in Love is at that point, you know, when you're dizzy. Dizzy in Love sounds more accurate than Dangerously in Love, because you know when you're in love with someone, you really be doing a lot of things. You really be doing the most. That is the overall theme of Dangerously in Love. You just be doing the most. Like, you meet this guy one time, or you meet this guy and you guys are still getting to know each other already. Like, you know what? This person, I can marry them. We could have kids. We could build this future and everything. Like, you've already envisioned so much. You've already gone ahead of yourself. That is what Dangerously in Love is like. I have been at that stage in my life. A lot of women, a lot of men, a lot of people have been in that stage of their life where they're like, you know what? I think this one is the one, and it's part of life. It's it really is just a part of life. Beyonce's interlude is the third one, is the 13th song off of the album, and to be honest, I wish the interlude was an intro. It's very short. She's kind of just speaking at that point, but you know what? What she is saying, I would have preferred it to be an intro, because it really would have introduce the listener into the album, or to see the or to kind of see how she's going to paint the narrative of what her first album is going to be like. But it's okay for her to have it as a breaker there. But I don't know, maybe the way it's situated is also a bit awkward. Like I said, I think it sounds better as an intro. Then comes in Gift from Virgo as the Sang to Lost track. It is a love song to a lover, basically. She is just speaking, she's just singing, you know, to whoever her love interest is, or whoever she's dedicated the song to. I would nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Very slow, somber song, and I wish it was longer. It's such a beautiful song that she has, and I think in a best way, because I am a Virgo too, she is basically singing our emotions as Virgos when we are in love with somebody. It is, she's just a true Virgo through and through. Then the last song is Daddy. It's more like an ode to her father. You can tell Beyonce growing up was very much a daddy's girl. So it is just a declaration that she has for the world that she loves her dad. That's her best friend. That's her ride or die. He's always been there for her through thick and thin. And it's a beautiful way to like end off the album. Not sure if it is. It is a beautiful way to end off the album. But at the same time, like with the themes that you got going on here, I think it should have been something a little bit different. But that's just my two cents on it. Now, for the moment you've all been dreading for, to hear what it is I have to say in regards to my rating of the album. Well, my ranking of the album. The rating of it, solid 8.5 out of 10. There's certain elements of it I wish were different, but it's such a brilliant body of work, and not only of the time, but of any time, just as a breakout artist, especially coming from a girl group, really seeing your personality shine and just the type of person that you are. Beyonce, it seems like that with all the songs that she's had throughout her discography, she's someone that loves love. She loves the idea of love. She loves being in love. She loves the relationships. There's highs and lows, but that woman loves being in love. So this album is the perfect introduction representation of the type of person that she is when she is in love with somebody. And I think though her lyricism and imagery of, you know, the idea of love and you know, maybe the good, the bad, the ugly. It's also beautifully written, also beautifully sung, also beautifully put together. So now, with that being said, I'm not going to ramble too much longer. I want to get this over and done with, rip the band-aid off. So number 15, Hip Hop Star is coming through with Big Boy and Sleepy Brown. Number 14 is none other than That's How You Like It featuring Jay-Z. Number 13 comes through with Signs featuring Missy Elliott. Number 12 is Speechless. Number 11 is Daddy. And number 10 is Beyoncé's Interlude. Number 9 comes through with none other than Baby Boy featuring Sean Paul. Listen, don't... Before people rip my eyelashes off, I just want to say, I didn't mean for it to happen, but I think it's the stage in my life that I'm at. That's why when I continue the list, you may see why I put Baby Boy number 9. Don't kill me. I still love the song, though. Number 8 was Naughty Girl. Number 7 was The Closer I Get to You. Number 6 comes through with Crazy in Love. Number 5 comes through with Gift from Virgo. Number 4 comes in with none other than Dangerously in Love. Number 3 is Yes. Number 2, Be With You. And number 1, Me, Myself, and I. Now, yes. I cannot believe it myself. My top 5 literally is Gift from Virgo, a slow song. Number 4, Dangerously in Love, and has a slow song. Number 3, Yes, another slow song. 2, Be With You, slow song. And number 1, Me, Myself, and I, a slow song. My friends know me for the one that loves a good slow song. I'm very chilled. And I think it's very prevalent in the way that I've done this ranking. I love the slow ballads. I enjoy me a good ballad. So clearly, that's just where I'm at currently. So, hectic. Looks like we have made it to the end of the episode. If you're here this long, y'all some real MVPs. Like, your girl here can go on and on and on. But I didn't want to speak too much. I wanted to really get my point across about the album itself. I think as years progress, obviously how one perceives a specific album in different phases of their life is very apparent from how they do their rankings, apparently. And, you know, had you asked me this question probably like 5 years ago, I think the rankings would have been so, so different. So it's very interesting seeing how, where I'm at in life and how I perceive certain things is very reflective in the music that I listen to. And it was a fun exercise, definitely doing it again with a different artist and with a different time era, maybe not debut album, like a sophomore album or something. I'll see whatever tickles my fancy, really. And with that being said, thank you so much for riding out with me for this episode. Let me know your thoughts and opinions. Leave a rating, leave a comment. That really helps me a lot and helps people really know more about my podcast. It's a little baby podcast. There's so much work that needs to be done with it, but I definitely want this second season to be a lot more fun and carefree, more conversational based, with a couple of commentary here and there. I can't wait to see you in episode 2. With that being said, I hope you guys have an amazing day. Eat good, listen to good music, and always be on some good vibrations. Ciao.